This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken.
Today our program deals with Jesus' warnings, his woes upon scribes and Pharisees. And Dr. White again relates the great difference of our faith that those who would be great must. You must hear this.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is a familiar one from the 23rd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and I believe is challenging, and as well can be so rewarding. Do stay with us.
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but do not practice. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by men, for they make their phylacteries broad, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and salutations in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you have one master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts him will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted."
Thank you, Sharon. Graciously, there is so much in each verse, passage, and chapter in our Bible that I can take a passage Sharon has read and use some almost endlessly, for much of our New Testament is laden with meaning, and this is one. It is not just woes upon what were the antagonists against Jesus 2,000 years ago, how it affected Judaism, or how it affects many today, but can also point us to how we allow theology or perceptions of others, even for Christians, adversely affect us. But even more, how this once more reflects how unlike the world is this Christianity of ours, and why it is so difficult to do it well. And even my saying, doing it well, is to misapply and misstate much of what we know of our Lord's admonitions. Well is relative, and we must ask just how would our Lord express doing well? Later this year, we will touch on what is considered the Lord's last parable, that parable of the sheep and goats, where on Judgment Day, the separation comes down to acts we are apparently unaware of. For the righteous answer the king, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." It is giving even a cup of cold water to those little ones, because he is a disciple, Truly the Lord says he shall not lose his reward. There is nothing here that in any way reflects the values, the perceptions, the viewpoint, and directions of our world in general. What especially our Lord has left us with, among other things, is really an upside-down world. Only in Christ is it really right side up. And we see this in the passage we have had read. After these religious leaders have tried to trap or at least compromise Jesus with trick questions or destructive issues, now before an earnest and open crowd, Jesus makes some warm and gracious warnings. As those scribes and Pharisees, those who are educated in the fine points of Mosaic law, elucidating the meanings found in the Torah, the books of Jewish law, they are to listen and do what they say, but not to use them as models of behavior. Do what they say, not what they do. This is quite an indictment. Jesus is accusing them of hypocrisy. But there's more here than hypocrisy, one way for me and another way for everyone else. There is also a mendacity here, even cruelty, insensitivity, and them asking praise and honor, perhaps not their due. Our Lord will in this narrative give us of what would very obviously be a visual description. We have a picture of an unwieldy packing, placing several packages on a person's back, each more awkward than the last time, and all tied together, where a person can hardly take a step, for it is so unbalanced and far too heavy. The Pharisees won't lift one finger to lessen the load. Of course, our Lord is alluding to the propensity of scribes and Pharisees to detail the obligations of the Mosaic law and make it so burdensome for those that must work for a living that they don't have the means or the way to supposedly fulfill their obligations in the law. To make such details of the Mosaic law is easy when someone else does the dirty work. But these are those who will make great effort to make their good deeds visible and try to be seen by others as close to perfection. Only for the Jews then and for some now, it's about the visibility of the fringes and the phylacteries and wanting to be seen in the place of honor at dinner parties and in religious service and being greeted by others by some elevated title, in this case, rabbi, father, master, or teacher. In fact, our Lord goes so far as to say, those who would be greatest among us shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This can be seen in other things that our Lord has said. The parable of the banquet, where he tells us not to sit in the honored seat, but to humble ourselves by placing ourselves lower. For it is better to have the host ask you to be placed higher than to be asked to vacate your seat to others and be asked to go lower. It is about just how different is the expectations in our faith. This is carried further by our Lord in what follows, the woes on scribes and Pharisees, seven of them, how they keep people from entering the kingdom of heaven, not entering themselves, and not allowing those who would to enter at all. They go to great lengths to gain one proselyte and make him twice a hypocrite as themselves. Only our Lord is more colorful in his language, saying they make him twice a child of hell as themselves. He then expresses how these men make silly distinctions between the temple and the gold on it, the sacrifices on the altar and the altar itself, distinctions without meaning. For we are to know, as our Lord has stated, that our words should always be true. We shouldn't need to make up oaths to convince others that our words are true, that we should be truthful. And perhaps rather than counting pennies, We should be known for the weightier matters of justice, mercy, and faith, that we should be even more concerned with the inside of our cup than the outside, meaning, of course, our lives, instead of making just our appearance seem clean and beautiful, but to be so clean throughout our lives. Of course, our Lord says a great deal more about the shortcomings of that generation of religious leaders, all of which would be true of many, but we should never assume that all scribes and Pharisees were blind fools or actual hypocrites. We know of Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were not so. It is just that a form of religion that is marked by artificial markers or visible appearance can easily degenerate into a religion marked by just the appearance of being right and marking the right boxes on our public activities. But it is invariably to be just that, a religion of appearances and not reality. It is why our faith is different. There are few markers or appearance makers. Baptism, yes, but in the first century, hardly something one would do to be popular or hailed in your community. Services on the first day of the week were usually quite early and not something to be seen as special, nor would the simple sharing of bread and wine. However, times would change. How many today are not what they appear to be? Speak of one thing and do the opposite. It is not just a church thing, but infects our entire civilization. It's not just on social media. Children in school try so hard to be cool. Or is the word no longer hip? Whatever, all of us try to be more likable, more presentable, or try to be what we want to be seen by others. Politicians, of course, are the worst. And I haven't even touched on the poor efforts of journalism today. It is again just perception and appearance and has little to do with truth. If it appears put on, it probably is. They're inauthentic. The same applies to our faith, even more so. Entering church, joining in the service as if it means something when it doesn't. Of course, this is not so much required to function adequately in our culture. But it seems odd when one lies as if you have no moral boundaries and then professes to be, say, a sincere Catholic or Presbyterian. Then there is something that has become endemic, the frequent use of bishop, archbishop, even apostle by some. And I'm sure they're very fine ministers. But why the use of such titles? Have they never read this passage? We have one master, one father, one teacher. I know Jesus only mentions these, that we are not to call each other by such titles. But have we just changed the titles? Are these not for our God to assign? Not for us to assume some title when we really don't know what it means or if we qualify? There are some that are prophets. And you will know one is a prophet in short order. There are evangelists, yes, and pastor teachers, much in the same way. Don't assume it is God's gifts that will make it obvious. So walk humbly. Isn't that what our Lord means by he who would be greatest among you will be servant of all? That does change the complexion of it all. It's the true servant, he or she that is always aiding, helping, doing the little things for others, that is not ashamed to clean the invalid's home, fix the back steps, take them to the doctor. This one is the greatest. In fact, being the greatest is something that one does not seek. Seeking such, by definition, means you're not. That is the key here, to show off, to seek the visible seats, the best places at whatever. To want to sit on the platform to be seen is not helping. If the church is full and you have a part, say, to pray or to lead the worship or to read a scripture or preach, that's fine. But if it's about being just seen to be idolized, watch out. The time may come when you are humbled. I have been in churches where so many felt they were called and more would sit on the platform than in the congregation. Let's make this simple. For our Lord has not made any of this complicated. It is always those who consider themselves wise, the experts, or so they think, who are the ones that make things complicated. But what Jesus wrought on this earth is basic, simple, and straightforward. He came to Israel at just the right time. He taught in the villages of Galilee in ways never done before, often in homey, familiar stories called parables, and he healed the sick. Even the ancient Jewish writings say so. He would be seized, tried, and killed on a cross, and several ancient writings even state that. But what is truly different is he didn't stay dead. He rose bodily and was seen alive by upward to 500 people at one time. That could seem complicated, but it is only so because it's unique and different, which is what our faith is, and why this all seems upside down. Yet it is difficult to believe, but actually it's simple. It's why Jesus will use the image of children. Once, when actual toddlers were coming to him, his disciples tried to stop it, and our Lord became quite angry, telling them not to forbid them to come. I'm sure Jesus' demeanor, his very persona, attracted them. They were running to him, and Jesus said, "Such is the kingdom of God. We must be like little children to gain this kingdom." The images are indelible and are many. For young children are accepting, believing, loving, eager, and willing. They have no pretensions, no agenda. They don't even know the concept of greater or humble, for that matter. They are who they are and can be guided for good, hopefully, or for bad. Toddlers generally don't want to manage their life. They are just discovering life and can be hurt very easily. The picture is of us, of how we should be and must be for what the kingdom is when established eternally. We won't care about prestige, who is supposedly greater. We will be too busy serving, caring, doing for others, and loving each other. Isn't that the point? Of course it is. It's just that for some, it's going to take a lot of humbling, but that is the point. Our faith is totally unlike the world. O Lord, above all, keep us in Thee, and help us not to think too much of ourselves. Keep us humble, so that You and You alone can exalt us. We are Your servants, and thus servants to all. All that Your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven, all for Your glory forever. Amen and amen.
Our Lord's warning about the scribes and Pharisees reflect a reality in every life of compromising truth so as to be accepted, of religious pride, and feeling better than others. There is one voice that has always spoken against such malfeasance, Jesus Christ. And this week, Thomas is offering a copy of his book, No Man Spoke Like This Man. Indeed, no one spoke like Jesus. And it is one more reason to accept him as Lord and Savior. And this book highlights the amazing nature of his very presence and his words. You will want a copy of No Man Spoke Like This Man. It can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, we want to thank all of our wonderful supporters who remember us in their prayers and thoughts. It is your faithfulness that keeps the Wings of Healing a vibrant ministry. And those of you who have not yet joined the Wings of Healing family, consider the important part that you would be to God's work. A simple and gracious gift, large or small, will make it possible for us to share the wonderful Word of God across this land and far beyond. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.wingsofhealing.com. thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Christianity is indeed different. Just as this from Brandon, who writes from Princeton, New Jersey, just how God has in his way brought victory and wholeness. Brandon speaks of his own injuries from an accident that are now completely healed, and he lacks any of the usual problems that were supposed to remain. All are gone, thankfully. I find this a wonderful testimony. But now, before Dennis provides our addresses once more, Jesenia Cortez come to sing so beautifully, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And until next week, do embrace the child within to be in Christ.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his very timely book, No Man Smoke Like This Man. This is a very readable and scriptural look at the impact and presence of the man Jesus Christ. How he spoke, how others reacted to him, and the impact of his words and actions on those around him. This is not only helpful, but a very insightful study that reveals the true genius of Jesus. So do write and ask for No Man Spoke Like This Man. It can be yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.